Let's waste no time. We head to the Progressive guest line. You find him on Twitter at Scout with Brian. He's a former video coordinator, advanced scout in the NBA. Now he's doing some of the best teach you basketball videos around. Was just watching him one earlier today. He's Brian Orringer with us on the Progressive guest line. Brian, my man, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Man, I tell you what, I learned something. I think every time I watch through some of your videos and I've just been combing through them. We just connected on social media over the weekend, so I'm pumped to have you on to talk some hoops. I guess what I want to start with is the Warriors. No Kevin Durant, but it sure looked pretty close to me to that old school, well, a couple of years ago, Warriors, where the ball movement was good. They were getting Steph and Klay all the good shots. How close did Game 6 look like to those Warriors teams pre-Durant?
Yeah, very close. I mean, you know, you remember that they won 73 games without him, and it's, you know, it's easy to forget that sometimes because I feel like, you know, we have this image in our mind of KD with them and them dominating the past couple of years, but they're still an elite team even without him. And, you know, when he goes down, that's why, you know, obviously people think, oh, Houston has a good chance and they can go for the kill now and so on, but you know, it's still an unbelievable team, and even without him, you know, they move so well, they move without the ball so well, they have two of the best shooters of all time, obviously, they had Draymond, you know, just playing the right way, playing so much like he used to. I mean, you knew they were going to dig deep without KD, and that's exactly what they did. They went back to their style of just nonstop movement, passing, screening, you know, it was just beautiful basketball, and it was fun to watch.
As much as I want to give the Warriors credit for going back to what was made them so successful, it has to be a little disappointing, the performance from the Rockets and the opportunity that they had in front of them to lose in that moment. I mean, they let something that was a big chance really slip through their hands with majority-wise from that Game 6 performance. They just didn't have it. On a multitude of levels, what went wrong for the Rockets in that Game 6?
Yeah, you know, it's. I thought, to be honest with you, looking back at some of the film, you know, I think they're probably kicking themselves more so in the first half. You hold Steph scoreless, you got to be up. You got to be up at halftime. You can't be tied at halftime when you hold Steph scoreless. And you know, they let Klay, I think, go for 5 or 6 threes in the first half, and a lot of them were just, you know, guys falling asleep, Chris Paul just losing Klay Thompson a couple times. You know, there was just a few inexcusable plays. And, you know, when you have things like that, then you end up down the stretch in a tight game and Steph just goes nuts and, you know, everybody will focus on the last few minutes. But I thought, you know, overall, like I said, there were a few times they could have really locked in defensively you know, pushed the lead out or got some separation in the game, and they didn't. They left it, you know, within striking distance, and that's when, you know, Steph's greatness just took over. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at some of the things that James Harden found Tucker for, like, a wide-open corner three with a few minutes left that he missed. I mean, you know, ultimately it's a make-miss league, and, you know, they were right there. But, yeah, the narrative's going to be that they failed again, and, you know, that's the tough nature of the sport. There's only one team that's ultimately happy at the very end. So,
Brian Orringer, our guest on the Progressive guest line, sponsored by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Follow him on Twitter at Scout with Brian. Check out the website, scoutwithbrian.com. I want to talk a little bit more about the Rockets before we move on to some of the games today and the matchups today. Well, the future looks a little bleak for them. I mean, they didn't get it done these past 2 years. It was maybe their best opportunity, but at the same time, one of the best players in basketball is still on their squad. They bring back a lot of the key parts from these successful teams. What do you make of the Rockets' immediate future in the NBA, Brian?
Yeah, I think they just have to hold on to the rope. You know, there's going to be a lot of the narrative and a lot of the noise that says they have to rebuild or retool or, you know, blow things up. And those are all, you know, usually overreactions. I mean, people were saying the same thing about Portland after all their playoff failures, and now they're a win away from the Western Conference Finals. I mean, you know, I said even they always said Dirk would never get over the hump until he did. You know, Harden's ultimately, at, you know, 28 years old, he's still in his prime, if not, you know, a few more years of this prime. They still have a really good team around him. You know, Capella's still getting better. You know, Tucker's a phenomenal player. Chris Paul's obviously on the downside, but he's, you know, still an MVP guy over the course of his career. I mean, you know, they have enough pieces to win. I think they just, you know, keep tinkering a little bit. They've got to keep developing some young guys so they, you know, have a little bit more in the pipeline. But I think they're right there, and they've proven to be right there. And, you know, ultimately, like I said, it comes down to making and missing shots. And I think, you know, they just tinker a little bit around the edges and just keep going for it. That's really all they can do. And just hope one of these years they finally get over the hump.
Brian Orminger, our guest at Scout with Brian on Twitter. He's with us on the Progressive Guest Line, brought to you by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com. Today, Trailblazers Nuggets. What do you see as the key in that Game 7 matchup? Portland found a little bit of edge in rebounding in Game 6. They clawed their way into this Game 7. What's the key in that matchup today, Brian?
Yeah, I think it's really rebounding. You know, I think Denver's such a physical offensive rebounding team, you know, and Portland plays, you know, some undersized small fours, and Kanter's a little banged up. They really need everybody to help out on the glass, you know, to limit Denver to one shot as much as possible. And, you know, I think it's kind of similar to the, you know, the Houston series. I think they just need to give themselves a chance, keep it close with a few minutes left, and you know, that's when hopefully having a scorer as talented as Dame and even McCollum, you know, could be a little bit more than what Denver has. You know, they have obviously Jokic, who's a phenomenal player, phenomenal passer, does all the little things. But, you know, Dame's the type of guy who could go for 40 in a Game 7 and, you know, make huge shots down the stretch. So I think, yeah, I think, like you said, I think they just need a massive physicality. I think they need to do a good job on the glass and keeping the Jokic out of the paint, and if they do that and can keep it close, I'd feel pretty good about Dame and those guys down the stretch.
Let's flip it over to the Eastern Conference matchup today. 76ers-Raptors, a lot on the line for both these teams. Feels like both these teams have really gone for it this year, so a huge game for them. What's the key in that matchup?
I think, you know, ultimately, kind of like it came down to Harden versus Steph in the end. I mean, I think the anatomy of these games are, you know, they're usually pretty close, especially in a Game 7 down the stretch. I think it'll come down to Kawhi versus Butler, you know, to be honest. I don't really see one of these teams pulling away over the course of it. I think it'll be the two alpha dogs going against each other. And, you know, I think Philly's been a little more aggressive trying to trap Kawhi and make other guys on Toronto make plays, whereas, you know, when you flip it, Philly kind of just has more horses. You know, they have Redick who can make shots. They have, you know, Tobias and Embiid who obviously are great, great players as well. And, you know, I think Philly's advantage is that they really have five starters and five guys who can give you 15 to 20, who can play with force like Simmons. You know, they kind of have just more horses. You know, Toronto has the best player in the series in Kawhi, but he's really going to need, you know, Gasol or Green or Lowry, you know, some of those guys to really step up today. But I'm taking Philly just because, again, I think they have, you know, more threats and more guys who can get going, you know, if Philly's able to take Kawhi out of the game reasonably well. But I think, again, it'll be a great game and, you know, come down to a tight finish for sure.
Brian Orminger, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line, quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. At Scout with Brian is the Twitter account. ScoutWithBrian.com is the website. Also on Patreon as well. Don't miss any of the great stuff from Brian. I got a couple more for you here. Frank Vogel's the guy announced for the Lakers. Does Vogel feel like the right guy for the Lakers, the right guy for LeBron, and the right guy for what they want to achieve out there in L.A.?
I think Ty Lue was the right guy, and they botched that somehow. You know, I think they had a guy LeBron was familiar with, and he's been a championship coach right there. And, you know, they said Lue wanted 5 years, the Lakers wanted three, and how they couldn't just find a way to settle on four is kind of beyond me. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Vogel's he's a good coach. I've always been impressed with what he did with Indy, but you know, he struggled a little bit more in Orlando. He doesn't, you know, coaching LeBron's a different beast. He's a guy that's coached, you know, Paul George and David West and some good veteran players in the league. But you know, if you start to hesitate in a close game with LeBron, you know, he's gonna call you out. And if you don't know your stuff, he'll walk around you and kind of do it himself a little bit. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be an odd dynamic, especially with another head coach and kid on the staff who, you know, they by all accounts, you know, seriously considered to be the head coach. So it's an interesting arrangement. It's an interesting organization. And, you know, I think Lou should have been the guy. And if they really loved Kidd, I don't really get why they didn't just make him the head coach. But, yeah, I mean, I think Vogel will do a decent job, but he's not, you know, not a home run hire by any means.
Interesting certainly is one word for it. At Scout with Brian on Twitter, Brian Orringer, our guest, the Progressive Guest Line. All right, last one for you, just a quick one here. The NBA draft lottery is this week. A lot of hope for those teams that aren't in the playoffs. What would be the most fun team that could win the draft lottery? And I know a lot of these teams have the best chance, you know, the Knicks and stuff like that. But what would be the fun team? This team wins the draft lottery, and you're like, okay, this is going to get fun and interesting. Do you have one that jumps out to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think having a team like the Knicks to get a big-ticket guy like Zion, in addition to, you know, all the free agency rumors, would definitely be exciting. I think, you know, there's a lot of teams that, whether the Lakers somehow make a jump. I mean, there's teams for sure that could really benefit from having a transcendent guy like him. But to be honest with you, I'm even excited about, you know, who gets, like, the number two pick. I mean, I think Phoenix, for example, I think they'd be better off maybe with Ja. I think they could use a franchise point guard. I think the Bulls, you know, have enough bigs already that they, you know, point guard's really their spot of need. So I think Ja is a terrific player too, and almost as much as, you know, I care about who gets the number one pick, I'd love to see, you know, a team that could really use a point guard be able to be in a spot to get a guy like him at a number two.
Brian Orringer, he's in the NBA for a long time, doing all the dirty work and the important stuff, and now he's dishing it out on Twitter at Scout with Brian, scoutwithbrian.com. If you don't follow him, you're missing out. You're going to learn something almost every single time you pop on one of the videos. I appreciate the time, my man. Love the content. Keep it rocking, and let's catch up again soon.
Thanks a lot for having me, Cody. Appreciate it.
Great stuff from Brian Orringer on the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you and quote, buy, and save on home insurance with the Home Quote Explorer only at progressive.com.